Good day, friends, and welcome to the Spirit of Bible Study. My name is Garland Robinson. Is there anyone that does not know they're going to die? Could we speak with anyone? Could we find anyone anywhere that believes they're going to live forever? Well, we probably could. There's going to be people certainly that live as though they'll never die. But yet, all you got to do is to look around and observe things around us. People die. People do not live forever. Everyone's going to die. The oldest person that you know, will they be 100? Maybe 102, 105? Much more beyond that? We probably don't know anyone personally. Maybe the oldest person living in the world today, 110, 15, 20, somewhere in that neighborhood. People are going to die. And that's exactly what the Bible says. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Everyone's going to die. We read in Romans chapter 5 in verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Death is a consequence of sin. Now the individual himself does not have to sin. For example, little babies, small children that know no sin, inherit no sin, yet they die. They die as a consequence of the sin of Adam, going all the way back at the very beginning. Death passed upon all of mankind because there's never been a human that lived a perfect, sinless life. It took Jesus, the Son of God, to come into this world and live that perfect life. And He died on Calvary's cross that we might have redemption for our sins. It's our job in this world to learn about that and to believe it with all of our heart. Study God's precious book, the Bible, and then learn how to live according to it that we might be pleasing in His sight. Because we're going to die. We don't know when that'll be. The time of our death is uncertain. In Job 14, in verse 1, we read where Job said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. Oh, isn't that so true? In man's lifespan, even though it be a number of years, in comparison to the centuries, in comparison to the thousands of years this world has been in existence, about 6,000 now, well, man's going to die. It's but a drop in the bucket. And during the time that he's alive, there is turmoil, there's trouble, there's anguish, there's sorrow, there's pain, and eventually there's death. In 1 Chronicles 29, in verse 15, we read, for we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. Isn't that so true? Our life is just like a shadow cast on the ground. We may stand and look at the shadow as cast by a tree, but if we stand and observe it for a few minutes, it changes. It moves. It doesn't stand still. And before long, it's gone altogether, certainly at the setting of the sun. And death is like that. That comes to every living thing. It's soon gone. In James the 4th chapter, in verse 14 and 15, we read, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or do that. How in the world could men and women be so presumptuous to think they have ultimate control of their destiny and of their lives? God is in control. He allows us, while we're living, to do what we want to do. He allows people to make their own choices, even when they make a wrong choice. God does not sweep it under the rug. God does not ignore that. Everyone's going to have to pay for the deeds they've done. We're all going down that same long road. What is your life? It's but a fleeting moment. It's but a vapor, a mist, a bit of steam that soon dissipates and it's gone. Our life on earth is spent, but it needs to be spent in preparing ourselves to meet death, getting ready for that time we're going to die and to go out into eternity. In 2 Kings chapter 20, we read in verse 1, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amoz, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." Hezekiah was given this direct warning himself. Hezekiah, you're about to die. If you've got anything to change, need to set your house in order, make sure everything's in line, you better do it now because you're going to die. Well, upon the repentance of Hezekiah, God extended his life for another 15 years. You know, I don't get that privilege, and you do not get that privilege, nor does anyone else. God tells us we're going to die, and what we need to do in the meantime is get ready for it. We don't know if it's going to be many years from now, or we don't know if it's going to be soon. We don't know if it's going to even be today. How many people around the world that will die today? Only God knows. Thousands and thousands and thousands of people will meet their Maker this very day. No wonder it's said that in Amos chapter 4 and verse 12, O prepare to meet thy God. Friend, are you prepared to meet God? Is your soul in accordance with the Lord's will? Is it in harmony with God's Word? Friend, when you're prepared to die, the Bible offers great words of comfort to you. In Psalm 116, verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints." Oh, how precious it is. You ever think about someone dying and it being precious? Yet the Lord figures that those who die in accordance with His will, those who die in the Lord, their death is precious. In Revelation 14:13, John would write by Revelation, "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. From henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them." What was John here to write? He was to write it down that those who die in the Lord, that means die as a Christian, that means die in faithful service to the Lord's command, those individuals are blessed. They're happy. They have a great reward awaiting them. One of those rewards will be that we're able to rest from our labors in this world. And the good deeds that we've done, the great glory we've brought to God through obedience to His Word, will be made clear on that day. What a grand occasion that will be. Paul would write in Philippians 1 and verse 21, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What did he mean by that? To die is gain? He meant to be able to escape all the ills of this world. He was persecuted. He was hounded. His life was threatened constantly. He was beaten. He was left for dead. He was in great turmoil physically. But then he also mentioned mentally on the other side. He had great concern for the churches, and he was troubled by people's lives that they didn't love the Lord, they didn't love His Word, weren't doing His will, and it brought him great sorrow. He was in anguish over those that weren't doing right, and he was troubled every day. But he says, if I can die and go on and be with the Lord, then what a gain that will be. He would write Timothy in 2 Timothy 4 in verses 6 to 8, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me in that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." Not only was Paul going to go to heaven, but he said everyone else who loves the appearing of the Lord. And the only way to love it is by doing what God said. He said, "I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which have already died." He said, "Don't sorrow as if you would sorrow over some who had no hope. For if you believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, that is, who have died in the Lord, will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that they which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them that have already died. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 18, he said, wherefore comfort one another with these words. It is comforting, friend, to know that there's a Savior in heaven who loves us. God who wants us to do right, but he will only forgive those who obey him. When one dies unprepared, though, the Bible doesn't offer any hope, gives no peace or comfort whatsoever. John 8:24, Jesus said, you're going to die in your sins, for if you believe not that I'm he, you shall die in your sins. In Ezekiel 33:11, the Lord said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but rather I want the wicked to turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways and do my will. Hebrews 10:31. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. For those that die unprepared, they will stand on the left hand of the Lord in judgment. And he says, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Matthew 25:41. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. Matthew 25:46. Where do you stand today? Are you with the Lord or against the Lord? That's what he said. You're either with me or against me. Friend, you are going to die. We just don't know when. It's no great announcement for the doctor to say, you're going to die. Well, the heavenly physician has already said that. We're all going to die. We have a destiny, a point in time with death. So will you be ready? That's the key. Are you prepared? Put away your selfishness and stubbornness. Put away your pride and humbly obey the Lord. If you believe that Jesus is the Christ, you can repent of your sins, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized into water to be united with him in baptism, to be raised up from that watery grave to walk a newness of life. My name is Garland Robinson.